Show Me the Science with Professor Luke O'Neill.
Hello, Luke O'Neill here, and welcome to my Show Me the Science podcast, where I pick a topic. Now, it's usually something I've just come across, and people have asked me, where do I get the inspiration from? Well, first of all, I'm a scientist, and all of science fascinates me. I do get sort of take a day off occasionally. I go sick of science because, you know, you can't be into it all the time. But 90% of the time, I'm looking out for stuff, and it could be in a magazine like Science or Nature. I think if someone asked me where a big source is Popular Science, which is a great thing to follow actually on Twitter or X. And this one, though, I was in America last week at a big conference in Boston, and I turned on the news and there was a whole 20 minutes on CNN about this. Now, what it is, did you know there are two astronauts stuck in the International Space Station? I bet you didn't know that. And there was a whole thing about them, and they've been stuck up there for days and days and days. And of course, they're all wondering, when can they get back? Why are they stuck? It's kind of like a Hollywood movie in a way. But these two astronauts have been stuck up there. And the big question is, how are they coping? Why are they stuck? And can we get them back? And it really is all about the science of the International Space Station, I guess, is the topic that we're talking about. Now, this could be seen as a dream vacation. Because if you're up in this International Space Station, which, remember, orbits the Earth 19 times a day. It's one of the biggest machines ever built by humanity, by the way. A very complicated thing that's gone around and around. It was a big collaboration between the Russians, the Americans, and the European Space Agency. The Russians are, of course, sadly no longer involved in these things. But still, it was a great example of international cooperation to build this. And it's a fantastic sort of example of human ingenuity and science in action as this thing goes around and around the world doing all kinds of things. And the views are spectacular, apparently, from it. There's a special thing called the cupola, which you can sit into and you can see the Earth go by, all the continents and all this sort of thing, you know, great views. And you're also in zero gravity. Now, that might sound a bit disturbing, but you get used to it and it's great fun to be floating around, bouncing off the walls. I wonder if these two astronauts are literally bouncing off the walls because they're stuck up there. But still, zero gravity becomes fun. And most astronauts go, it's one of the best things about being in space. One famous astronaut said, gravity sucks, when he came back to Earth. But so you might think it's a great place to be, to enjoy yourself, right? And the astronauts in question, it's Sonita Williams and Barry Butch Wilmore. His nickname is Butch. They both have said they're enjoying it. So they haven't been too negative. Now you wonder, is that through NASA's PR people? I don't know. But certainly they both seem to be saying, look, it's not that bad to be stuck up here. They miss their family, obviously. Now they're able to communicate with Earth, so it isn't too bad. But they're the two astronauts that are stuck up there. And I did see the word indefinitely. Now that seems a bit too negative. But NASA have yet to say when they're going to bring them down. Now, it could be any day, by the way. So by the time this goes out, this podcast, because we do record them, maybe they're back on Earth. But certainly at the moment, there's no set date for them to come down. And the reason why it's happened is they were brought up there by a craft made by Boeing, the famous airline company, had made a thing called the Starliner. And the Starliner brought them up there, got them to the International Space Station, and then there were faults in the Starliner. Thrusters failed, first of all, on the way there, and there was a leak of helium gas. Now it is a touch of these Hollywood movies, isn't it? I presume if you're on one of these things, you don't want the helium gas leaking, and you don't want your thrusters failing. Now, they'd got there by then, so it didn't endanger them in any way, but there's something wrong with the Starliner, which, by the way, is now tethered to the International Space Station. And the question is, will they fix it? Or will they send up another one? That's what they're discussing at the moment with Boeing. Boeing are in charge of this device, this Starliner, of course. So Boeing are now trying to come up with a solution to this. And they might fix the one that's up there. They might send another one. Or guess what? They might turn to our favourite Bond villain, Elon Musk, and use his SpaceX, because he has a craft that sends up things to the space station. They might have to go and eat humble pie and ask him to give them a dig out. You never know. But they were supposed to go on an 8-day mission. They packed their bags for 8 days. They've been up there now for 53 days. This is the day that when I'm doing the podcast. So a lot longer than they were anticipating. And the question is, what are they doing up there? Well, there are two extra pairs of hands. There are now 9 astronauts on the International Space Station. And these two extra pair of hands are helping in various ways, as I'll explain. They went up to do some experiments, and they're doing more of those experiments, but they're also mucking in. Now, there are all these chores on the space station to do with the toilets and freezers and various things, and people are sick of doing these chores. There's less time now, as it were. At least people are now, they're helping with those chores, so that's quite a good thing. But the size of it, to give you an idea, is the length of a football field. So imagine the Aviva Stadium. It's as long as that. And it's got the space of a 747. Remember the famous 747 airplane? It's a big jumbo jet. And the internal space in that is the amount of space that's available inside the space station. And that's divided among various things. Living quarters, obviously, social areas, but also labs and various technical parts are part of this whole structure. So it isn't that small. And I suppose 9 people inside a super jump jet or a Boeing 747 isn't too bad. And they can move around a bit. So it's not as bad as it seems, I suppose. And of course, they're doing these various jobs, as I say. Now, the big thing they're doing mainly, what they're sent up to do is interesting. And Wilmore is 61 years of age. Good example of someone who's like my age. It doesn't mean you're too old to go to the space station. He's an ex-Navy captain. Williams, the woman, she's 58, close in age to Wilmore. She's also an ex-Navy captain. She's the one who's the helicopter pilot. Wilmore is a jet, he was a jet fighter pilot. So Wilmore used to fly jet fighters and Williams was a helicopter pilot and then they became naval captains. These are the right stuff, aren't they, to be going into space. And what they're doing is Williams is working on how microgravity affects optical fibres. Now, optical fibres are a very important communication strategy and they're looking at these in gravity and she's doing kind of experiments about optical fibres in space. She's also working on how gravity affects plants. She's been assigned these experiments to do. And remember, there's all kinds of experiments happening on the space station. The plant one, she's measuring how gravity affects plant growth, for example. And of course, she's learning new things about space, I suppose. I mean, one reason for these experiments is if we ever go to Mars or go beyond this, you need to know a lot about gravity and various things, including if we're going to grow plants. And Butch Wilmore, he's doing more of the donkey work, from what I can read. There's various chores he's been assigned. Food inventories, replacing a urine processing pump. That's got to be a kick, doesn't it? He's also been fixing a freezer while he's up there. He's a very handy guy, I suppose. And he has been doing one or two experiments as well. But what strikes me at this is, remember the old Navy, they would get them to scrub the decks to relieve boredom on these long passages that the Royal Navy would do. That scrubbing of the deck was a useless activity, which is to keep people occupied. There's a bit of that going on here, I think, just giving them things to do, it seems to me. And in particular, some of these chores are a little bit boring. But still, they are doing some real experiments as well. And they're also taking part in social activities and having two extra people, I guess, probably makes those more interesting too. So that's an interesting part of what they're getting up to while they're up there. Now, one big thing happened when they were there. They got a terrible scare. And this is a few weeks ago. There was a risk of a satellite nearby breaking up. And bits of that satellite, there was a risk of those hitting the International Space Station. This is the basis for one of those space science fiction movies that you may have seen, if I remember rightly, when a satellite began to damage the space station. That came close to reality. So they all had to jump into their spacesuits, go into their special, you know, pods that protect them, right? And in the case of Williams and Wilmore, they climbed back into the Starliner. They decided, to hell with this, we're getting off the space station. We're going back into the craft that brought us here, and maybe that will save us from being hit by this space debris. Now, luckily, none of the bits of the broken satellite hit the space station. So in the end, the emergency passed and they survived this. But the two Wilmore and Williams decided to get back into the Starliner just in case and to protect them. But in the end, nothing happened. That was fine. They did say it was a bit of excitement, of course. They got scared, but it distracted them for a while, and that was quite good for them as well. And, you know, they're still stuck up there. Now, some of the other facts about this, because when you read about the space station, it is quite remarkable. The speed it goes at is 17,500 miles per hour. That's how fast it's moving through space. So they're on the biggest roller coaster ride of them all, and I've done the science of roller coasters, but it's moving extremely fast. It's going so fast, you see a sunrise every 90 minutes. So it goes around the Earth every 90 minutes and the sun comes up and the sun goes down. Now, they have the windows down, shutters down. They try to keep a 24-hour cycle because otherwise you'd be going mad, wouldn't you? If there's a day lasts 90 minutes, that would drive you to distractions. They've got ways of controlling that with blinds and so on to try and keep their circadian rhythms normal, right? And then what happens if you're in that space for such a long time? Well, it's been done before. A guy called Frank Rubio, he's an American astronaut. He was meant to go for 6 months and he ended up staying up there for a year for various reasons. And he made the best of it. And of course, the one thing you need is resilience to cope with all this. So he's been studied a bit in the past and what it means to be staying beyond the time you're expected. Because obviously, if you're expecting to go for a year, you're psyched up for that. if you're expecting to go for 8 days and suddenly it becomes 51 days or whatever, 53 days, how does that affect your psychology? So there's a psychological aspect to this, and they're studying the two of them for how they're responding to this unexpected delay. And that we might learn from that for future space missions, because things always go wrong. But so far, they seem to be fine with it. And they're being constantly, not constantly, but regularly monitored for psychological distress and various things. They seem to be fine about that. But there are two negatives. One is they're homesick, and they're more homesick than the others because they weren't expecting to be up there for such a long time. They can talk to their loved ones on Earth, of course, but even still, there's a family events are happening that they can't go to, and that's bugging them, understandably. And a second one that they've reported is constant nasal congestion. This is well known in zero gravity, by the way. Fluids build up in your body, in various parts of your body, and the nasal sinuses, they're inclined to get clogged in space. And this, you know, has been well known for years. And the longer you're in space, the more nasal congestion happens. So if you hear an astronaut speaking, they're often speaking as if they've got a heavy cold. And that's partly because of all this nasal congestion. There are ways to treat this with various things you can inhale and so on. But even still, they're saying that's a bit uncomfortable. But that seems to be the size of it. Apart from a bit of homesickness and a bit of nasal congestion, they seem not content, you might say, but they aren't exactly, you know, as I say, bouncing off the walls, unless it's for fun. But of course, they are waiting to be brought back to Earth. And the big question is, can Boeing get its act together, or will Elon Musk step in and use the SpaceX Dragon capsule to bring these two astronauts, who aren't quite lost in space, but they're stranded on the International Space Station? So that's it, the science of the International Space Station and what it is to be stuck in space for longer than you think. And thanks as ever for listening. And of course, my podcast is available every Thursday, and it's a News Talk production.